Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice.
Alas and dead my Savior bleed, and dead my Sovereign die. Would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Reading from Colossians chapter 1. I'd like to see again this week what the church must be and what it was before it became the body of Christ. We saw last week Ephesians, and today we'd like to look at the church at Colossae. Reading the first chapter of Colossians. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, and the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you, as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it does also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth, as ye learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with all the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who have delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether there be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. So far we read God's holy word, the description of the church there at Colossae. Let's give thanks for it, and let's pray that there will be churches like that today. Our Father, we come to thee through Christ. We come giving thanks in his name for every blessing given, the many that we have, particularly in the natural ways, which others do not have when they're in suffering and many different calamities throughout the world. We pray, Father, that as we have these blessings, we may not be at ease in Zion because of it, that we may know the suffering of others, and that we may bring them to prayer and bring our thanks to thee for what we have, knowing that it's all from thy hand and all because of thy mercy and long-suffering toward us. We as a nation have sinned so terrible and are probably sinners worse than others that are in judgment, having had earthquakes and other calamities, southern part of our nation with the tornadoes and the hurricanes. And we pray, Father, for those also that have war in their borders, and especially Ukraine. We ask, Father, for thy blessing on thy word wherever it is heard, that it may bring the light of the gospel. We pray especially that the church will be awakened and revived in our country. We hear that it is blessed in Ukraine, and we pray for the continued blessing there and other countries where the church is forbidden. We pray that the electronic means that can be used to bring in the gospel in the homes will be blessed by thee, and that soon all the ends of the earth will hear and fear and be made to turn unto thee, that which is spoken of by the psalmist might even take place in our time, both for Jew and for Gentile. We pray for those who need thy healing hand in the body, and we pray for many other needs that there are, the hungry, the persecuted, all these different calamities that people are suffering in. We pray for them, that thou wilt look on them in mercy. We pray that thou wilt now guide us in this word, that we may see what the church was in itself before becoming part of thy body, Lord Jesus, and what it is now as thy body, and that we may be learned from it, and we may be made like it, all through thy name. Amen. We would like to consider again what the church is in Christ and also what it was before it was in Christ. Last week we read the first chapter of Ephesians and saw there in the second chapter they were children of wrath even as others. They were no different than the others. though we saw that they were predestinated, it was not because of God choosing them in anything good in them. He chose them in His grace, in His power, made His power known, as He did here, and delivered this church from darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. That's how plain it's stated. And we see that twice, what they were before that. Also, verse 20, and having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled. It's all by the righteousness of Christ. We read about the blood in verse 20. We read also about the blood in verse 14. Christ paid for our sin, the sin of these here at Colossae, and ours today, if we are part of the church, paid for on the cross, His death and His shed blood. And as He said, we must go and partake of it. And if we don't partake of that death and His body and His blood, we have no life in us. Life begins in us because of His death. And we must see that plainly. That is why the church can be a church, because it is part of the body of Christ that He has paid for on the cross. As we read of their faith, it is faith in Christ Jesus. Verse 3 and 4 we read, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye have heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. All of that is there. They heard it, they believed it, and there's a further hope in heaven, even though, as we read of the Ephesians, they were made to sit in heavenly places. That blessing is there, in part, as Christ taught us to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so there is a fullness in heaven of what we can have in Christ. We have the beginning of it here. And Christ prayed more and more that God's will would be done here on earth as it is being done in perfection in heaven. That's what He means here when He says, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye have heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. I cannot see and ear cannot hear what is prepared for those who love God here and will have in fullness in heaven. The heavenly places will be perfect. Here it is in part. And here we read, it is laid up for us in heaven. How we should long for that, especially that there will be no more sin, that we don't have that which weighs us down, that which makes us sad, that which is against God and the terribleness of it. We need to recognize it. It's a terrible thing if we sin. It's even worse if we don't realize it. I have had that at times. There was sin in my life, and I did not think of it at all, as I should have, and thought of it later, and then could just say, awful, awful, awful. That's what sin is. It's awful. Because it's, as David said, against thee and thee have I sinned and done this great evil in thy sight. And no matter what the sin is, it is awful because God has loved us in Christ and we should be thankful. As Paul here said, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ and the love which you have to all the saints. It's not only faith in Christ by which we can have our sins forgiven and be reconciled with God, but there will be the fruit of it, as he mentions that here, love to all the saints. Christ said, by their fruits you shall know them. If there's not love, then there's not faith. Faith without works is dead, as James says. And so we will have that, and as Paul could write to another church, we have faith that worketh by love. It turns toward love toward God and love toward each other. That's especially an important thing. Christ told the apostles three times the night before he died, love one another. They needed to be told that, and we need to be told that. There certainly is a lack of love in our homes when we see so many homes broken. There's a lack of love throughout the country. When we see our country so divided, we have to ask, is there still life in Christ when there's such a lack of love? The answer for our problems is not in psychology, not in other ways of what's called mental health and all the problems that are there, especially with the children. The answer is to have the gospel preached to each one of us and to others. The answer is repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what happened when Paul writes to them and says in verse 12 of this first chapter, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who have delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. That's what they had before. They were in the dark. And we are all in the dark, especially today in our country, when we do not give glory to God as the Creator. We read in Romans 1, we are without excuse. We can know God as Creator, and we don't recognize it, and we don't acknowledge it. We don't even want to agree with it. We promote the lie of evolution as taught in our schools, taught in our colleges, universities, everywhere. The foolishness of evolution. I've said it before, but I'll say it again. We must come back to God, acknowledge Him as Creator, and if we don't, our foolish hearts are darkened and they will stay darkened. We need to come to God as Creator, Lawgiver, and Redeemer. That's what He certainly was here, and delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us to the kingdom of His dear Son. That kingdom of His dear Son is the kingdom of light. Christ is the light of the world, and it's His kingdom that we're translated into, the kingdom of His dear Son. He was a dear Son to God, and He must be a dear Son to us, the Son of God, who takes away the sin of the world, who paid for it on the cross. And as Paul says here, Father, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. That blood shed on the cross covered our terrible sins. Isaiah says, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. David knew that too, when he asked God to forgive him and to make his sins as white as snow. The blood of the Lord Jesus can do that, and the Father does it by applying the blood. He applies it by our knowledge of the gospel, by the word, but also by the power of the Spirit. And we need the Spirit to accompany the word, to believe this as it is. The Colossians here did that, and we need to come in that way to be a church like they were. Going back to verse 11, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power unto the patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. We read also in Ephesians chapter 1 last week about the glorious power of God that accompanied the Word by the Spirit and giving power to the Word, and that way brought them into the kingdom of God, being made the body of Christ. Here it says, translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son by that power, then describing who Christ is, who shed His blood, and verse 15, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. And I want to repeat, as I said a moment ago, we must believe that God and Christ are the creators of the world. You and I are made in the image of God, by God, and by Christ. We can read what Moses wrote in Genesis, let us make man in our image. And he did. And we are created by Him. All things are created by Him. Everything that's in the world. Not only were they created, but they continue by His power, as we can read here in verse 17. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. We read much the same thing in Hebrews chapter 1. God, in these last days, has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, by whom He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory, and the express image of His person, and the upholding of all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sin, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. He made all things appointed by Him, and all things continue to exist by Him. Then describing who He is, who being the brightness of His glory, the brightness of the Father's glory, and the express image of His person. We have the same thing in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 15, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. They are one God, Father and Son. Sometimes we read that the Father shows Himself in the face of Jesus Christ, as is mentioned and written in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, where God shows Himself in the face of Jesus Christ. But here Christ is the image of the invisible God. That's also what we have in Hebrews, upholding everything. You and I have your life, natural life, by what Christ gives. It's in Him that we live and move and have our being. Even much more important is that we have our spiritual life in Him. Not only do we have faith in Him and who He is, what He has done, but we have the faith of Him as well. As Paul writes, He is the author and the finisher of our faith. We see that especially when Paul wrote to the Galatians that he lived by the faith of the Son of God. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. A number of times we read the faith of Jesus Christ. We read that also in the 16th verse of this same chapter, Galatians 2. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Twice in that verse we read, by the faith of Jesus Christ. And that's what we need to see, that we have the faith in Christ, and we have the faith of Christ, and we need to know who He is. He is the Creator of all things, and He is before all things, and He is the head of the body. Verse 18, Colossians chapter 1. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn of the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. He's not only the head of the body as one that paid the price for our sin, but He must have the preeminence as the head. We must see Him and give Him glory as Creator, one with the Father and being a lawgiver, and He is the Redeemer. Like one song says, I will sing of my Redeemer and His heavenly love to me. On the cruel cross He suffered, paid the price to set me free. All of that is true of Christ. These first verses here, it is by the blood of His cross. In verse 14, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Again, in verse 20, having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, everything must be reconciled by the mediator, by the Redeemer. And we need to see that and all that by faith as we see it in the Word, and by faith trusting in Christ that we might live also by the faith of Christ. When we think of the blood of His cross, we must also think of the death. As Christ said, record in John chapter 6, except you eat of my body and drink of my blood, you have no life in you. That's where our life begins, His death, His shed blood that paid the awesome price. The Creator of the world, the Father's Son, beloved Son on the cross. And that's where we must go, to the foot of the cross. That's where life begins for us. Except you eat of my body and drink of my blood, you have no life in you. That's what each one of these people had to do at Colossae. Every one of them, individually, they had to go to the cross. They had to go as guilty sinners, go as lost sinners, go as sinners dead in sin. Because he said, except you eat of my body and drink of my blood, you have no life in you. If there's no life, only death. We have to be taken from death to life. As Paul said to the Ephesians, you who were dead in sins hath he quickened. And that's what we must have each and every church. You who were dead hath he quickened. God quickens us together with Christ, makes us alive in Christ. We may not understand it all, but we have to believe it as children and learn it from him as children. Except you be converted and become as little children, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. We must be born again by the Spirit to make us to see the kingdom of heaven. Born of the Spirit, which is the Word, through that way God brings us to himself, by the preaching of the Word, by the call to repentance, the call to recognize who we are. As lost sinners, we are in the dark, and we love the dark. Christ said, men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. Even worse than that, everyone that does evil hates the light, hates Christ, who is the light of the world. We need to come to the light from the dark. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. Now we need to pray for the power that was at Colossae and brought them from darkness to light, as we read in verse 13. That took a power to overcome the darkness of Satan and the darkness of our own life, loving darkness rather than light. How we need to see that, believe that, and only when we believe it as the Scripture states it, can we become part of the body of Christ. We have redemption through his blood, forgiveness of sins. We need to see that he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Not us, not man, not churches called by man's name, but by Christ himself, who alone is the head of the church and who alone has paid the price that the church might come from darkness to light, that it might be set free. As he said, if you continue in my word, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Christ is himself the way, the truth, and the life. Has he set you free? Go to him today by faith. Hear his voice. Come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest.
To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, visit their website at calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship, sponsored by Zion Chapel.
Praise the Lord.